today on It's Time.
But it is interesting to me that when God's will is in your life, He will always direct you back to where He wants you to go.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
We've been looking at the life of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of the Jewish race. And through that came Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at the sons of Jacob, he had 12 of them through several different women. Well, the point is that there was always issues. We remember God told Jacob, go to Bethel. When he was living in his father-in-law's house, Laban, he had a heart desire to go back where he came from. And so he's on his way. He gets ready to go, all the different stories. But instead of going to Bethel, he makes a left turn and goes to Shechem. Shechem is where his family got into trouble. His daughter went into town. She got raped by a guy. Her brothers, Jacob's sons, got extremely angry and very, very jealous. And so basically they killed the town off. Now, as we look at this, and we're just going to look at verse 30 of chapter 34, and then we're going to go to chapter 35. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the people and the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me, and I will be destroyed, my household and I. He said, because of what you did to the males of Shechem, now everybody's going to want to unite against me. Now, it's interesting, friends, as we look at this, you're going to notice two names, Simeon and Levi. These are Jacob's second and third sons. Now, you're going to say, well, why is that important? Because you have shamed me, okay? You know, a lot of people wonder, why is Jesus Christ the Lion of the tribe of Judah? After all, Judah was the fourth son that was born. Why wouldn't it be Reuben, the firstborn? Isn't that the firstborn, the one that always got all the goodies? And what about the second and the third? Well, this is where we find Simeon and Levi come in. But what about Reuben? We're going to find out a little bit about him, and we're going to find out why Jesus came through Judah. Then God said to Jacob, I like this. God still talks to him. In spite of his problems in his life, God still speaks to him. And by the way, friends, you will go through many things in your Christian experience. Some good, some bad. But remember this, God is bigger than the things you've done wrong. And God will always continue to speak to you because of one great reason. He loves you. I love that about God. He knows our frame is dust. And God intervenes and is everything that we are not. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, God begins His work in you. Now remember this, He will not begin His work in you unless you ask Him to. That's why we become born again. Jesus said in John 3, marvel not that I say to you, to a religious leader of the day, you must be born again. Why was that? Because it's when we become born again, we surrender our life to God. Now we're about daddy's business. We're not about our own. And the prayerfully, The kingdom of heaven is advanced. That's the whole idea. We live in a big lost world. I don't know if you've noticed lately how lost it really is. We live in a lost world. The Bible says you are salt, you are light. One of the reasons we gather here together on Sunday morning is not to sell Amway products. We gather here this morning to encourage one another in the faith and to not look at church as a furtherance of a business, but rather the furtherance of God's kingdom. God wants to accomplish something with us collectively and individually. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. I have seen great crowds of people that call themselves Christians with zero fruit in their life. I don't want to be there. I was sharing right before service with a friend, and I said, remember in the Bible where there was an angel and there was the pool of Siloam, and the angel would come down and trouble the waters, and when they'd see the water moving, the first one in the water got healed. That's where I want to be. I want to be where God moves the waters, because I know God is here. And because God is here and God's refining us, he's got something great for you. Never rule yourself out. Well, who am I? I'm just an insignificant nobody. No. Never believe that. You are part of something so much greater than you would ever dream. I often wonder sometimes if the angels don't look in to us as human beings going, I just wonder if they really understand how much God is in their life. Because God is in your life. That's why we become born again. No longer I, Paul says, live, but Christ who lives within me. Why? Why does he say that? Because God's got something so much bigger for you than 8 to 5. He wants to inspire us to do far beyond that which we can ask or think. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Not Johnny jump up and roll down the aisles and swing on chandeliers, but we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit to know how to navigate every day for the maximum for the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. And we look at that and we think about these things and we think about the association and friendships and relationships that we have with each other. Do you know you become more like who you hang out with? The book of Proverbs says, be careful of the company you keep. Why is that? Because they will rub off on you and you will rub off on them. But if you're around people who love Jesus, that's going to increase it. God told Jacob, go to Bethel. Jacob goes to Shechem in the last chapter, and it's a disaster. Insomuch, he said to his two sons that were the spearheads of killing all these people, you have made me a disgrace to the land. You know what's really weird about the last chapter? It's one of those chapters in the Bible that really, if you were trying to write about how wonderful a group of people were, like in your family tree, you'd want to leave out. Do you know in the previous chapter, God is not mentioned one time. Yet in this chapter, God's mentioned almost in every verse. What's the difference? When you're where God wants you to be, you're blessed. And where you're not where God doesn't want you to be, there's going to be trouble. It's just the way it works. Then God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. It's interesting again to me. He told him to go there. He didn't go. He went somewhere else. He goes back and God speaks to him and says, go to Bethel. You know, there's a long way around the mulberry bush, isn't there? We can say, okay, God, I know what you want, but I'm going to do what I want over here. God says, no, I want you over here, but I want to be over here. And you ever notice that? And you get in a fight with God? Have you ever said, you know, I would give $1 million for a 1-minute cell phone call with God. Hi, God, I got a question for you. We all have felt that way. But it is interesting to me that when God's will is in your life, he will always direct you back to where he wants you to go. That's the way God works. Why? Because there's a blessing where he wants you to go. Because he loves you. I have pre-designed this perfect blessing for this person if they will just go there. And us, I want to wander around over here someplace. I want to be over here. God says, no, 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 no. The blessing is right here. Would you please just come over here? And we always think we know more than God. What attracted Jacob to Shechem in the first place? We don't know. It doesn't say. Do you know when the Bible is silent on a matter? I usually believe that that is so we could add whatever maybe thing about us that keeps us from being where God wants us to be. Let me put it like this. When it's not specific, enter your issue here. What keeps you from being where God wants you to be? Now, the next question is, how do you know where God wants you to be? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Where evil is, confusion is. If you don't know what's going on, maybe it's because you're not clear, and so God wants you to move where he wants you to be. God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there. Dwell there. That means live there. This is where I want you to be, okay? And make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. Wow. Now, here we find something. One of the things you're going to find in this chapter is a reoccurrence of remembrance. Remembrance. I think that's really important. Remember. Remember. You know why? Because I forget. Okay, I do that a lot. But God wants us to remember. Why? So not only do we remember the blessings of God in our life, but we also remember the dangers of not being where God wants us to be. He goes, I took you here, rebuild an altar where I met you when you were running from your brother. Isn't it weird that God reminds him that he was running from his brother? I think it's kind of weird. It's like God saying, look, you were running from your brother, but I protected you all these years. Verse 2. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves, and change your garments. Wow. Evidently, in his entourage, there was idolaters. They came out of the old country, out of the land of Laban, but they were still holding on. You know who one of them was? His wife, Rachel. Now, again, she's the one that stole the family gods. They were underneath her when Laban come and said, you stole my gods. And he goes, well, look the house over. If you find anybody, oh, she looked all over, couldn't find them. Some people wonder why she kept them. Well, evidently she might have been still worshiping if this has anything to do with it. But they had servants as well. They were doing all kinds of things. Notice he says, it says, put away the foreign gods, purify yourselves. That means separate yourselves. Change your garments. Isn't that weird? Change your clothes? Why do you change your clothes? I don't know. But evidently, maybe their clothes had some occultic things about it. Maybe there were things that were in their clothes that was not right. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming for a church whose garments are without spot or wrinkle. You know what I found about spots and wrinkles? Spots are usually caused, I know this firsthand, by sloppy eating habits. I can dribble. You know, I think one of the prerequisites of Italian food is you must wear half of it. I mean, noodles that are a foot long? Come on. You know, you're a little kid, you suck it up, and the noodle goes, and it's flipping tomato sauce all over the kitchen. Well, sloppy eating habits will cause spots in your garment. I think a lot of times Christians have a lot of sloppy eating habits. They eat at a lot of places they shouldn't be. They read a lot of stuff and that they think is Christianity, but it really isn't. The other thing, without spot or wrinkle, how do you get wrinkles in your garment? Setting on them. You know, you don't get wrinkles in your garment when you're wearing them. You get wrinkles in your garments when you're setting. Sloppy eating habits and sitting on your garments, those will cause spots and wrinkles. Well, notice it says, put away your clothes. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who will answer me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. I think it's interesting that he recognized in the way that I have gone. Yes, when I was running from Esau, my brother, because he was going to kill me over the whole birthright thing. Yes, God's been with me the whole time. And notice he also says in the day of my distress. First of all, friends, being a Christian will not, and a follower of God, does not exempt us from distress. You know, we can go along and say, everything is beautiful. You know, I mean, we want to think that. In our Christian experience, that as a child, as a king's kid, I never need to have any pain or sorrow in my life. Everything goes my way. Spotted sky, you know, cloudy skies turn to blue. Waters part when I walk through. I'm a king's kid. I got tinted glass and Erico. Really? Well, when I read the Bible, I find Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Why is that? You're a live fish going against a current in the world going to hell. Oh, politically incorrect. Yeah, no, it's real. Hell's a real place. That's why we're still here. I'd love it if we had altar calls at the end of the service. Do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? Yes, I do. They're gone. Well, that works great. But we're still here. Why? Because we're saved to serve. And do you realize that God leaves us here not to be mean to us, but the Bible says that we lay up for ourselves, treasure in heaven. I want all of you, part of my job as a pastor is to make sure that when you go to heaven, you got as many rewards as you can. Not just, well, I made it by the skin of my teeth. I'm glad I'm here. But God goes, oh, you here. What are these? Those are all the crowns you get for your service to God. The Bible says to lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. It tells me that there is some kind of a massive value system in heaven, far beyond that which we understand here on this earth. And that every one of us living today is determining what kind of rewards we will have. And so he says, he answered me in the day of my distress. Friends, you're going to have distress in your life, but it's good to know you got a God in heaven that knows more about tomorrow than you remember about yesterday, and we can trust in him. Verse 4, so they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands. Wow, that's kind of weird. They were all toting this junk all over the place. And all their earrings which were in their ears. Now, evidently, these earrings had something to do identifying them with these gods. That's why they took them out. And Jacob hid them, literally buried them, under a Timnath tree, which is by Shechem. So somewhere out there in the desert, for all you treasure seekers and all you raiders of the Lost Ark people, somewhere out there, there's a tree with a bunch of gold earrings. That'll keep you awake at night. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Friends, this is a very important verse. Though Jacob did not deserve God's divine protection, God put it in the hearts of those cities that he was so scared that were going to come after him back in the preceding chapter. God put fear in their hearts to leave him alone. Remember this, God is a supernatural God, and your God will take care of you when you are doing what God wants you to do. He was in God's will. He was going back to Bethel where God told him to go. And when you are going where God wants you to go, you are under divine protection. I like that. Nothing can happen to you. You're invincible. You know, we need to kind of live more like we're invincible as Christians who love God. Because I think a lot of times the devil likes to scare us. You know, the Bible tells us, Peter says, that your adversary, the enemy, is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he can devour. Jesus ripped his teeth out on the cross, but I want to tell you, you still have an enemy that wants to devour you, to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. And his plans are well laid to stop you. It can even come in packages of Christianity. It can come in packages of an individual. It can come in all kinds of packages to stop you from what God wants you ultimately to do. If he can't stop you, all he needs to do is trip you up. And so they got rid of all the other things. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man, as James says, is unstable in all of his ways. Get rid of all these false gods. Why? Because when God deals with you, he doesn't want you, me, anyone to say, wow, pure luck. That's God's hand in your life. See, a lot of times we like to think that it's by some merit of our own great wondrous thoughts and actions that these things have happened. Friends, it's God's blessing in your life. It's God's blessing. It isn't that we deserved it. It's just that God says, as a matter of fact, buddy, I love you here. And God pours on us his bucket of golden love, and it changes us for the rest of our lives. I like that. That's the God we serve. And you say, but Mike, that's good for them, but what about me? No, God doesn't have favorites. God loves all of us, each one of us. And he will do the same great, wondrous works in you as he will for anybody else. He goes on and he says, and by the way, he calls them into remembrance. And they gave him all the foreign gods which they had, and he buried them. I think it's interesting, he didn't even want to recycle them, melt them down or anything. They were contaminated, get rid of them. And you know, there's a lot of things in our life that are contaminated we need to get rid of. Things that just aren't right. They just don't have the fingerprints of God on it. By the way, I'm one of those people that look for the fingerprints of God. Again, the stirring of the water by the angel. I look for the fingerprints of God. And when I don't see the fingerprints of God, I want to back off of it. Because the thing is, by their fruit, you will know them. By the things around you, you can discern where God is and where God isn't. And I like to see the fingerprints of God all over me. And I want to see God's fingerprints all over you. Because then I know God is guiding you and directing you and having you be where you're supposed to be. Not in Shechem, but in Bethel where God told you to go. And so they journey. And the terror of God was upon the people of the land. And Jacob, verse 6, came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And they built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the Tibernath tree. And so the name of the place is called Elon Bethuth, which literally means the oak of weeping. Then God appeared to Jacob again, and he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. By the way, God does that. When we're obedient to what God tells us to do, we get our next set of marching orders. That ain't Mike. I want the whole plan now. Okay, I'm going to do this, then 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 I'm going to do this. Are anybody else like that here or just me? I want the whole enchilada, you know. This thing about God telling me one step at a time, I don't like that. Because I like to know where everything's going. But why doesn't God do that? I'm glad you asked. Because it requires faith in him. I can follow a plan. I find sometimes it's hard to follow God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. God says, if I gave you the whole list, Mike, of what I was going to do in your life, you wouldn't believe it anyway. And second of all, if I was to give you the whole plan for your life, you would say it's too much. So God calls us his children.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening. And tune in next time for It's Time.